All right, today we're going to be talking about the plague and the Hundred Years' War and the end of the Middle Times, Middle Ages, and medieval times. All that's going to end today. So it first starts off here with the Crusaders' return. So we've been talking a lot. You just did your Impacts of Crusades, hopefully project or assignment, and all the impacts that it had on the people that went off to the Crusades and how they returned back, especially those ones that dealt with the impacts on feudalism. So the Crusaders go off, they fight in these wars around the world, and then they come back. When they come back, they're changed forever. Their viewpoints, their information that they have, they're forever changed. So life has got to change when they get home. So go ahead and hit the next slide. All right, on this one, you should see change is difficult, but not changing is fatal. And fatal, we're going to talk a lot about that today. Click again. So this is a picture of England. We're going to talk about the change in England predominantly to start off with. So all that you see there in orange is England. The lighter oranges is Northern Ireland, Wales, and Scotland. So here's who's in charge. You click again, you can see a picture of King John. King John is officially in charge after Richard III. Richard III, remember, catches an arrow in the face on his way back from Crusades. So if you click again, you're going to see a video. So I'll go ahead and let you watch that video. So hopefully that video has ended for you. So it was a cartoon video from Robin Hood, the cartoon, the Disney animated one. It's a little bit goofy, but it does a really good job talking about what King John was like. King John was the younger brother of Richard who went on crusade. So it talks about how he's greedy, wealthy, not a great ruler, how he didn't like his brother, pretty much all the bad things that you want a ruler to be. And so in front of you now, you should see a picture of him at a table signing something and a whole bunch of knights around him. So what the deal was is that the nobles wanted more power. They were sick and tired of the king being able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wanted. Like you saw, taxing or taking or breaking the laws. So what they did is they actually attacked London, surrounded it, and make him sign a peace treaty. They didn't throw him out of office. He was still king, but they made him sign a document that gave the people more power and, more importantly, them. Click again. This is what they did. It was called the Magna Carta, created in 1215. So, and that's actually a picture of what the Magna Carta looks like. So go ahead and click. So this is what the Magna Carta did. It was a system of government for the king. So the king was no longer the complete control. So we can see kind of the downfall of feudalism right here. So like it says here, the king must obey the laws. Before, kings can do whatever they want. Laws are for people, other people, not him, not kings or queens. Parliament was created. Parliament is a representation of the people or the lords. So they would have a voting say in the government. And then you're also given inalienable rights. Those are your rights that cannot be taken away. So that'd be your life, liberty, freedom of speech, things like that. Those are inalienable rights. And so like it says, and we've been talking about, this is the end of feudalism. Feudalism can't really work this well if you don't have a all-powerful king or queen at the top, and then the lords and so on and so forth. When you're starting to give other people rights and powers, it starts to break away at feudalism when you get more systems, more like democracy and things like that that come to be. So go ahead and click again. So it says here that the Magna Carta will go on to influence the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Absolutely. Magna Carta goes on to influence a lot of what we see of common day democratic systems or republic systems because of the laws that it set out and the rights that it set out for the people. So you click again, you're going to watch a little video about the Magna Carta. So I'll let you do that. And when you're done, come right back to this. So hopefully you just watch that, the Magna Carta video, a good little cartoon about what it actually did and what rights it was actually given to people. So now you should be under the slide that says Dead End, the Plague. This is going to bring an end to the Middle Ages. At least it's going to help to do that. So the Plague, go ahead and click. So also known as the Black Death. So you can see the different, this painting, the real morbid painting of what's going on, wars, death, skeletons, representing demons, skeletons, killing people, death, all these wars are going on. So it's absolutely chaotic. This is going to be one of the worst events in human history. So go ahead and click again. So what is the Black Death? It's known as the plague, and there's two different kinds. We're actually going to talk about three different kinds today. But bubonic and pneumonic, no pronunciation of the P on that, are the two times that we're going to focus on today. We'll briefly mention the third one just for fun, just so we understand of what we're, the entireness of that what we're dealing with. I will give you a heads up now, disclaimer. There are some graphic images coming up. I will make sure to try to say something so you know to skip over it. But the point of the graphic image is to show you the true horrors that people had to go through and why people will come to their thought process of what was really happening. So click again. Here are your comms of types of plagues. So you can see bubonic, pneumonic, and systemic plague. So let's talk about pneumonic plague first, the one in the middle. So sudden pneumonia, blood, watery mucus, and respiratory failure. So go ahead and click, and this is what it is. So you see pneumonic, it means lungs. It's an infection of the lungs. So what happens is you will inhale this somehow through the transfer of some sort of mucus, saliva. You will transfer this. So sneezing, coughing, all these different things. And so what happens is that it gets an infection in your lungs and it causes uncontrollable bleeding in your lungs. This is, in essence, pneumonia, but pneumonia is just water in your lungs. This is actual blood. So what happens is this blood will continue to fill up. You'll try to cough it off, which increases the infection of it. And then eventually you will drown in your own lungs, okay? Because the blood becomes so much, you are unable to breathe and you will drown to death in your own lungs. 100% fatal back then and highly contagious because of the sneezing and the coughing. Your coughing will eventually continue with blood. So it's coughing up blood flakes and things like that. Super nasty way to die. So go ahead and click again. This will be, I'll give you a heads up on this click. This will be a picture of a lung. So if it queases you out. So you can see this lung is infected with pneumonic plague. You can see all the kind of the white stuff here, the white cloudy stuff, that is actually the blood boiling, pooling in there. And you can see this is, your lung is like a giant sponge. So the little itty bitty big black dots are fine. But the big cloudy splotches are where blood is contained. No different than when you put a sponge under water and you soak up all the water. That's what's going on here. It's going to make your lung not very usable. And so that's an infected lung with pneumonic plague. So go ahead and click again. So we're going to go back to this one. So we got bubonic. So sudden high fever, headaches, chills, body aches, swollen, painful lymph nodes in the groins and armpits. You know, grow what are called buboes or boobs, okay? Just not the boobs of what most people would probably think of. So go ahead and click. Here we go. So bubonic or bubbles is another way. So I believe we have some graphic pictures coming up. At least I believe there's 3 in a row here. So be aware. So this first one here, you'll see this guy has bubonic plague. You can see the bubbles in him. Look at his armpit. You can see one growing on there. There's one on his neck. So this is a mannequin, of course. But you see all the black bumps on them. So black death. This is a person's leg, okay, with bubonic plagues. You can see the bubbles there, the black bubbles. And then this next one here, you see a growth on this person's neck that is necrotic. It's black. This is also bubonic plague. So go ahead and click one more time. You should be through all your pictures. And you should have this red slide up with all the days. So this really breaks down how bubonic plague works. So day one, you get these painful swelling in your lymphatic system. Lymphatic system runs throughout your body. If you feel your neck, okay, underneath your underneath your jaw, typically where a doctor feels, those are your lymph nodes that you're feeling, a couple lymph nodes. So they always check to see if they're swollen. That could be a sign of infection. And so that's what happens in this system, is that it gets an infection into the lymphatic system. So you have lymph nodes, like, for example, under your armpit or in your groin, where this disease particularly infected. So you'll grow these boobs, these bubbles there. That'd be about the size of an egg or sometimes the size of an apple. Day two, you start to have a fever and vomit, which is highly infectious. Day three, you start bleeding under your skin. In between your skin layers, you will have blood secretion, and this will be black because the blood is dead. It's no longer alive. So it's just black blood coming around your body. So your skin will start turning black. Day four, it attacks your nervous system. That's your feeling, your ability to control. You'll get uncontrollable spasms, and you'll get terrible pain from your nervous system. And then day five, sometimes the bubbles or the boobs will burst, and you'll get this disgusting smelling fluid that oozes out of them. That's dead necrotic blood from your lymph node. So that could be, this is something that you could survive, but it's highly infectious, okay? But, 30 to 60% of the people will die from this as well, versus where pneumonic plague, it was 100% infection rate or 100% death rate, mortality rate in this. So it's a very painful, suffered a painful death in most cases. And that could also be infected. As soon as that pops, that could be infected as well from being opened and not cleaned. So go ahead and click again. So we're going to talk about this last one for fun. This plague was not as much dealt with back then as it is nowadays. This is a systemic plague. Fevers, chills, body aches, severe abdominal pain, shock, and blackened skin of the extremities. So I believe these next three slides will be fairly graphic images, so be aware if you want to choose over them. First two are not so bad. The third one is fairly graphic, so just be aware of that. So go ahead and click. Oh, excuse me. There is one slide ahead of that. I always forget about this one. It's a little bit out of order. Kind of shows you where bubonic and pneumonic plague and infect. Entry, exits, disease, it says 100% mortality rate for the pneumonic. And then you have the highly infective, the buboes on the left, the lymph node system. You can see where one is. So it's now these next three slides, which are the more graphic ones. Okay, this first one, you see a pneumonic or a systemic infection of the feet, where you can see the blood pooling at the toes there. That is dead necrotic cells. That skin is gone. So that's dead necrotic cells that will not come back. That's gone. But you can see what it looks like. Pretty gross stuff here. So go ahead and click to the next one. That's also going to be a disturbing image. This man is infected with plague. He has systemic plague. You can see it in his fingers and his forearms, and then also on his lip and his nose. Those are all signs of the blood pooling underneath the skin. Now, this last one, yet again, I'll warn you, is a very disturbing image. Okay, so this is of a guy's foot with gangrene. Okay, so you can see where his foot was at the beginning here. Highly infectious, dead necrotic, then it's bone, and then exposed muscle and tissue, and then, of course, you have maggots all over it. So I'm going to go ahead and click off this. But what that was, and the reason why we show it, is that is gangrene. That is what that can go to if it is completely untreated, which, of course, back in that day, they would be untreated. It would not be taken care of. So you can see where people would get to that level of disgustingness. And so this is why I showed you all these pictures, and a lot of people have problems with them, is that you can read about this stuff in a history book about the, you know, people dying of plague and all that. But now you kind of have an idea of what that actually physically looks like and what it would be like to experience that death and that atrocity and the painfulness of it and the disgustingness of it. So it comes down to the slide where it says why. These are wondering what people try to understand this. Why is this happening? Why are all these people dying? And it comes down to this. Well, was it a punishment? Punishment from God for something that they did? Sins of the past? So that's what they thought. Remember, everybody believes that, you know, God is in control of everything. So this would be, in essence, a punishment. They also wondered if it was the end of days. This is as close as we've gotten pretty much to the Walking Dead of lifestyles. I mean, it was literally people dying left and right and people cutting them out of their lives, banishing them, killing them, locking people in their homes because they're afraid of the disease spreading. It's as close as society has gotten, in essence, to that. So click again. But here's really why it happened. We had increased world travel. We had all these people going off on crusades. We talked about the age of exploration is coming. People are venturing out. When people venture out, well, we meet new people, and these new and interesting people have new and interesting diseases and cooties. Pretty nasty stuff. So we bring that back home with us. We have very poor living conditions. We've talked about people living with animals in their house or the lack of running water, things like that. These are cesspools for disease and rodents and things like that. So that's another idea. And that brings us to poor sanitation. So, I mean, bathrooms, there wasn't a whole lot of running water bathrooms. So people literally were going to the bathroom in a bucket and throwing it out into the streets. So that encourages rats and other such disease-carrying animals to come in. So it's pretty nasty stuff. And then finally, we have the lack of medical knowledge. Back then, there was just no concept of medicine in reality. All the way up into the 1830s, I mean, we're talking the 1200s and 1300s right now with the plague. In the 1800s, in the Civil War, we would take pus and wipe it on each other because we thought it was helping cure the infections when, in fact, we were actually spreading the disease. We had no concept of bacteria and virus and all that, so we had no idea. I mean, one way that we'd take care of things is bloodletting, which is literally bleeding people because we're like, oh, well, we'll just get rid of the bad blood that's in your body. Well, that's just actually making someone weaker and exposing them to more contamination. So that's not a good plan either. So our severe lack of medical knowledge combined with all these other factors made it perfect for the plague to expand all over Europe and, of course, all over the rest of the world at the time. So go ahead and click. So this is how the plague came to be. It was spread due to a tick predominantly and some flea bites. So what happened is these ticks would bite rats, and that would spread to the rats, and the rats then would spread it to other people, or they would become the transport hosts of these diseases. Rats would sneak onto boats that were traveling around the world, or the fleas would get in with other animals, and they would be traveled by horse or by human, whatever it is. But the infection came from predominantly the ticks and the fleas. It was a bacteria that was in their stomach. So when they bite you, they would, you know, suck a little bit of your blood, and then they would send this bacterial infection into the hosts. So that's how it would jump from people to people to people, is these nasty tick bites or flea bites due to the poor living conditions and it being highly spread through people traveling. So go ahead and click. Here's just a picture to illustrate that. You can see this guy with his rats. You can see how easily that could be happening. A nice picture demonstrating the poor sanitation and then what a tick actually looks like. So you can see that's the blood inside of its stomach, and it would transfer that out. So pretty nasty stuff. Go ahead and click again. And so it says here, it's kind of hard to read here, it says the plague starts in China. A lot of people don't know that the plague actually started in China years before it ever got to Europe. I remember we're talking, 20, 30 years plus ahead of it. So it actually originates in China. Unfortunately, you don't read a lot about that in history books because they're written from a Western perspective and not a whole world or Eastern perspective. And so it spread from China. So sailors, you can see, brought it on the blue routes. It hits India next, and then to the Middle East, and then finally to Europe. Europe's one of the last places it hit. You can also see it take the green path on the Silk Road or other common trade areas, but really hit China hard, and then India, and then the Middle East as well. So go ahead and click. So here's how it infected Europe. So the darker color is where it originates, and then spreads out to the lighter color. So you can see it really hit these port cities first. So you have in France and Italy, it slowly spreads up through Europe, but it happens in the port cities closest to the Mediterranean first. Green areas are some mildly infected areas, which is kind of interesting that there are some zones that are less infection. Not quite sure why. Could have been precautions that they took, weather, better sanitation systems, whatever it is, help prevent the spread of the disease there. So go ahead and click. You're going to have a couple of videos here of the plague. I believe there's four of them, actually, three or four. So go ahead and pause this, and when you're done with them, hit resume. So you should just watch three videos on the plague. Nice little backstory about it, kind of give you an understanding of what's going on. So you should be on this picture of this guy in this black robe and this white mask. These are very common. People have seen this imagery before. However, most people don't know what they are. These are actually plague doctors. And so they'd wear these black robes to keep themselves clean, very similar to a white robe from a doctor now, but these ones were just black. And then they wear these very unique masks, these bird beak masks. And a lot of people think it's designed to help them for their breathing and stuff like that or keep the plague out. Yeah, it might keep the plague out, but really what it was designed to do is they would take these big long beaks and put in the nose of them. They'd shove flower petals in there so they wouldn't have to smell the horrid smell of this black death, the rotting bodies, the popping bubules, all these things. So it was more designed for the smell to help the doctors go to these houses that had plagues. So go ahead and click again. This another one says, Ring Around the Rosie. The classic child song, Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posies, Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down, is actually about the plague. So Ring Around the Rosie, that's a red infectious spot on your body. Pocket Full of Posies to help with the smell. Ashes, Ashes, they burn the bodies. We All Fall Down, everybody died. So it's a pretty morbid child song that a lot of people don't know the words to. In fact, I know for my daughter, they've changed the lyrics in school. So it's Ring Around the Rosies, Pocket Full of Posies, hands in, we all fall down. Just because it's a little bit of a morbid song. All right, go ahead and click again. So we have the results of the Black Death. 75 million people died of this. Huge numbers. I mean, the Earth is nowhere near as populated as it is now. So that is massive. So what that means is 30 to 60% of Europe died. One could say that about the world. 30 to 60% of the world died. That's about blanking out one out of every two people, half the population gone. This creates a problem. You have a gap in society. This disease not just attacked the lower end, the peasants. This attacked everyone. Kings, popes, queens. Everybody was attacked with this. No one was protected. So it creates a huge gap in society that society must do something about, must restructure. It must adapt to it. It's going to allow people to seize an opportunity, and that's going to create more conflict. So it's a huge ramification towards ending the medieval times and the Middle Ages. Go ahead and click. So this is to show you, disease is still around today. Go ahead and click. This is a sign from here in Lake Tahoe, where it talks about plague warning. This is down here at the beach. You can get plagued by biting by an infected flea, touching or holding an infected rodent, or being around a pet cat infected with plague. So pretty nasty stuff, but it's still around. People don't even understand this. So click again. You see a map. This is current cases from 2010 to 2015 of plague from around the world. Dark red would be deaths. Light red would be the amount of cases. And then the regular red would be areas with potential natural focuses for plague. So areas where it naturally occur. So it shows you that, yeah, we still have it here in the United States. However, there is more cases of it in South America than there are in the United States. These cases are occurring, as you can tell, in more rural areas, places that might have less sanitation steps, less education on healthcare. All these things that we saw back then continue to happen. So thus you have the higher mortality rates in these cases. Go ahead and click. Here's another good video for you. It's just a fun song that a student pointed out to me. So when you're done with it, come on back to this. So go ahead and pause it. So you just pause and watch that little song video. Pretty good. It talks about, you know, the plague and all those different things. So moving on, we're going to shift gears here. We're going to talk about the 100-year war, which lasted more than 100 years. Thank you, history, for being complicated. So from 1337 to 1453. So we're moving up through time fairly quickly. So go ahead and click. So this war is between France and England. So England being in red and France being in dark green on this. So go ahead and click. So what this was is, for centuries, France claimed England, and for centuries, kings of England claimed France. We saw this with Richard. Richard was claimed king of England. However, he had never been there, really, and just been in France and spoke French. So there's always been a constant back and forth of who claimed who, and they're finally going to settle this deal with the 100 Years' War. So go ahead and click. So we have, back to this 100 Years' War, we're going to zoom in here, the Battle of Agincourt in 1415. You get 11,000 French soldiers versus 4,000 English soldiers, about a 3-to-1 ratio, so not good for the English. Good chance of their defeat. So if you click, you'll see this video from Henry V, which is a Shakespeare play, and this is the movie version of it, talking about his inspirational speech for the Battle of Agincourt. So you just watched the video about the Battle of Agincourt, the inspirational speech from Henry V. So they go on to actually win that battle and be a huge turning point for the British in that war. He was able to rally them and overcome the French soldiers because of it. So you have then on this slide now, it says French response. So what are the French going to do after the British win? So click again. Well, they're going to get a new general, and this general is going to be named Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc is a 17-year-old girl that claimed that she was spoken to by angels, three angels, or by God. So the French army is going to listen to a 17-year-old girl that hears voices. So that's kind of an interesting concept. But here's the scary thing. If you click again, she was successful. She was highly successful and effective as a general, as a 17-year-old girl with zero training, which is very interesting. So click again. You should get this video. It's going to be a long one, but it's a kind of funny one. So go ahead and watch it. Come back to this when you're done. So you just watched the video on Joan of Arc. It's pretty ridiculous. And yeah, there's some, you know, funny things that kind of don't connect. But however, it does a pretty good job of telling what is going on here. So you should have a picture of Joan of Arc being burned at the stake up here. So she was captured by the British at the end of it. And of course, their viewpoint is that God or angels do not speak to women. So if they do, then you must be a witch. And so the only way to deal with witches was to burn them. And so that's why Joan of Arc was burned and claimed to be a heretic and a witch, because she talked to angels. So Joan of Arc dies at the age of 19, however, was highly effective in turning a bit of the tide in the Hundred Years' War. So go ahead and click. We're going to have this big picture of this giant round cylindrical thing, this orange thing. It's pretty cool. You know, if you can guess what it is, that, you know, power on you. Nobody can ever guess what it is. So take a moment, try to guess. I'll give you a second here. So if you click, you'll get your answer. There, it's a cannon. It's one of the original cannons. So cannons are invented towards the end of the Hundred Years' War. So click. So here's the impacts of the Hundred Years' War. France wins. It becomes its own country for the first time. So England is what it is now, and France is what it is now, too. But the bigger thing is that gunpowder is introduced. You have cannons. And the point is that that will ruin feudalism and medieval times, because it takes away the heart of it. You don't have castles anymore. You don't have knights because you have cannons. You know, castles aren't good versus cannons. They blow right through them. So this will effectively bring an end to the Middle Ages and medieval times because of the plague, and combination of people restructuring with that, and then cannons forcing people to physically realign and restructure with what they're doing. All right, thanks a lot.